Amen. And we're so glad what God's doing. Amen. Brother Corbett, testify of what about the jail today. Give us a report. And what's unique about the jail ministry, believe it or not, there's people there that through the years, it's been about 6 years ago, we baptized a pastor's son. I'm talking about an apostolic pastor's son. In Jesus' name, I've had preacher's kids in there. I've had doctor's wives. I've had doctor's grandkids. I've had people whose brother was guarding them on the outside. I've had people that you would never would believe that would go to jail. And the gospel needs to go to whosoever, right? And when it, if it was somebody in your family, you definitely want that. We're so thankful. And by the way, we're looking forward to what God's doing. There's other things that are opening up. I want you to be in prayer. I haven't heard from this young lady this week, but she's getting in touch with the church. She is a 20-something-year-old lady, and she is blind, and she's wanting to come to church, and she's asked specifically for a Pentecostal church here in Nacogdoches, and she lives at Independence Manor and just moved here, was a student at Angelina, and for what I understand is a student at SFA, and the new director that is there at Independence Manor has said, Pastor, we're looking for somebody to come and teach Bible studies during the weekday. So if there's somebody that you've been looking for something to do for the kingdom of God, this is where Sister Tammy Frazier lives on Pruitt Hill. And we're looking for somebody to join us. If there's several people want to join up and go there and just teach Bible studies, this place is wide open. And Brother Zach used to do it, the former administration. We went there and he taught Bible studies. But I would like to see somebody that will jump in this and say, Pastor, I've always been wanting to do something like that. These are is a senior citizen community, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do there. But I want you to pray that God would touch Kobe, this young lady, and as she comes to the house of the Lord, in fact, we'll probably need somebody to pick her up, and she doesn't have a ride because she's blind, and she doesn't have a CNI dog yet. In the future, she will, and somebody's asked me already about that, said, what would you do? That type of situation, yes. I don't want you to have to bring your lamb. One church, a lady brought their lamb, and another church, somebody, a lady wanted to bring a bird to church because it was a comfort animal. I won't, if there's somebody that's blind or something like that, that's okay. But I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Praise God. How many of you have a house that you know tonight, without a doubt, you could go in and your house is fixed. Everything is okay in your house. It's a safe place for you to lay your head down at night, tonight. Let me see your hand. Do you know if you have a safe place to live, you're in the top 80% of the world? Because there's people that have maybe a hut or a house that is not a safe place. How many of you have, you know, some spare change, maybe a few dollars, I mean, some extra money, maybe a few dollars laying or quarters or nickels and spare change. Let me see your hand. Do you know if you have spare change, you're amongst the top 80% of the world? In fact, you're the top 8% of the wealthy of the world if you have even a few dollars that's just laying around. You got more than 92% of the world. Isn't that amazing? How many of you could read? Do you know there's 3 billion people that don't know how to read? You're at the top. And you're at a good place. And how many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. You are at the top because our world needs this gospel. And we're so thankful for the blessings of the Lord. Brother, would you help pass this out? Can he get a helper? One of you young ladies would like to help him. Olivia, you want to help him? And tonight we're going to be talking about something that is very important. So tonight we're going to teach this a little bit differently, but I feel very strongly to teach it. And after confirmation in the Holy Ghost today, I have felt that. And if you have your Bibles, and I want you to help me with your Bible, with the Bible reading tonight. There's several scriptures that you're going to get to help me with. And this handout tonight is about choosing right friends. When you choose right friends, it saves lives. And we're going to go to the Word of the Lord in just a moment. We'll give you time to get all settled. But while we're doing that, let me read some stuff to you, some quotes. And we will elaborate upon them later. But you know, the book of James says, "Know you not that a friendship of the world is enmity?" Anybody know what enmity means? Enmity against God. Anybody can help me with the word enmity tonight? Say it again, Brother Pirtle. Mm-hmm. Right. If a friendship of the world is an enemy to God, basically. All right. And a lot of times we're influenced by a world and friends and a culture more than we are influenced by the Word of God. And today is very careful. We got to choose our friends. And I want to read this quote to you. "They can't save your soul, but friends may send you to hell if they wink at your sins and make you feel good when you're really guilty." If you're surrounded by a social circle who only laughs at your carnal, worldly, sinful ways, you're in big trouble. You need to find godly friends. Another quote, "Many people look to their friends for affirmation when they need to be looking to God. Friends wink at sin, but God doesn't wink at it." Somebody say amen. Amen. Friendship with the world is a fatal attraction for Christians. God is jealous. Next thing, when Satan uses your friends to destroy you, it may not be their hatred, rejection, or betrayal. It may be their flattery and sweet kindness. You should have more empathy. You should not have more empathy for friends than for God. Don't comfort someone when God is making them feel uncomfortable in their sins. Amen. And today, it is very important that we choose right friends. And so tonight, we're going to go to Proverbs, the 13th chapter, verse 20. Is written there for you tonight. And I'm going to ask different ones to help me read tonight, but we're going to read this one together in 13:20. It says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be," somebody say it. Choosing right friends saves lives. And can you tell a friend from a foe? Foes come in all kind of shapes, forms, fashions, and manners. Tonight is very, very much that we better be on guard, because even not everything that we claim as friends is friends. In fact, right now, and psychologists and counselors are going through this, where we live in a world where there's a lot of influence through social media, Facebook, what's some other ones? TikTok, all these different, Instagram, and people that are influencers think, well, or even on Facebook, I got all these friends. And this is the deal that a lot of, right now, the concern of most counselors is people that are addicted to that pseudo circle, digital circle or internet circle or whatever, media circle, they do that to impress, but they're very lonely people, lowly people. They may have followers that they call friends, but the problem is they're still an empty void. They try to impress others, and they could do it on camera, but the problem is in doing such, they're not real. And what's happening is they're falling in a cycle, in a deal where a vortex to where depression is greater today with those that have to have the, their friends. They have to have so many likes, and they have to have so many of these people, the approval. I want to just tell you tonight, we need approval from above. Amen. God should be our source of approval. And the scripture we just read, he that walketh with wise men is going to be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So tonight, in our first lesson, our first thing, we're going to look at Proverbs 29:24. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to assign these scriptures. That number one point, can I ask Brother Ashton to read it? Sister Rachel, number two point, that scripture underneath there. Number three, Sister Riley, number four, Sister Rebecca. Number five, Sister Crosswhite. Sister, number six, Sister Cass. Number seven, amen. Number seven, Sister Nina. Number eight, can you do that? Number eight. Number nine, Gloriana. Sister Ricky, can you do number 10? Can you do number 11? Brother John, 12. 13. Brother Colton, 14. And I think we have, 15 of them? And who can get me 15? Sister Rhonda, can you read 15? Okay, that makes it easier. And Brother Ashton, I need some of those handouts over there. Good to have Brother Pirtle with us and brand new little Sister Pirtle. Amen. Tonight we're talking about choosing right friends. Everybody say right friends. You will find somebody to agree with you in life. Somebody agree with you in life. But you better find the right friend. How many has ever had a friend before and later on in life you found out they really wasn't your friend? How many? Can I see hands tonight? Oh, man. I've had people that were associates and I was associated with that. I called them my friend. And I called them friends. But in the end, when it all panned out, I found out there was more foe than friend. So, number one, can you tell a friend from a foe? And our first part right here that we want to look at tonight, choosing a wrong friend means you have wronged your own soul. Because you didn't use discretion. You didn't use proper judgment. So, Proverbs the 29th chapter, verse 24. Reader.
Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewraileth it.
Okay. Right before Brother Corbett moved here, we had five people in Nacogdoches County jail. Five people that was in there for murder. And there was a murder. There was three cars that came from Lufkin, Texas to Nacogdoches in retaliation to a young lady that had a boyfriend here, and he was two-timing her, and the girlfriend was there. And three cars from Lufkin came to Nacogdoches, and those three cars were five different people. One of those cars had a gun. One person fired. All three of them now serving life in prison. All of them. In fact, two out of five I have baptized in Jesus' name. Two out of five received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But because there were family members and they would not rat on each other, the judge just said, okay, all of you get to go. Life. And the mother, there's a mother, a father, a brother-in-law, a son, and a daughter. that are serving life, all because they would not just say, hey, it was that car, not my car. And because they would not, they would stick together. I want to tell you, I'm in an hour that we're in right now that I've heard people say blood is thicker than what? And if you got family members that you stick up more for them than for what is right, you're going to find yourself in trouble. People that have gone into a place with somebody and didn't realize they were stealing, have gotten in a car with somebody and got down the road and got pulled over and they both went to prison. You need to know your friends. You need to know your friends. Choosing a wrong friend could be that you wrong your own soul. Anybody else has another suggestive or something, a point to make with this that could help our lesson tonight? About choosing wrong. Miss Olivia? Oh, okay, I thought you raised your hand. Choosing a wrong friend, how it could wrong your soul. Yeah, you got to be careful when somebody's consoling somebody as well. Consoling somebody whenever somebody's hurting or something like that, and they come consoling you. A lot of times it could be dangerous as well. Somebody comforting. There was a young man that he was engaged to be married. I want you to hear this, young people. He was right there, very close to the wedding date, and his fiance broke up with him. And her best friend came to console him. And guess what? Things went too far. And today there's a child between them, and that young man has only seen his child a few times. And it is crazy. You would think that would be a friend. But you better watch who comes around in a friendly manner. They may be friendly, but they may be foe. Everybody say amen. The second thing, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, there's three steps to a blessed life. Sister Rachel. So the three steps to a blessed life, number one is what? You don't walk in the counsel of ungodly people. What does that mean? Help. Counsel means the advice. Mm-hmm. You'll find somebody to side with you and somebody that will say, oh, my opinion. Godly counsel is important. Everybody say amen. The second step. What's the second step? Standeth in the association or the way of sinners. I don't stand in the way of sinners. I don't do the way of sinners. Explain. Somebody give me your thoughts on that. What does that mean? Stand in the way of sinners. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then the third step, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean? Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, those that mock the righteousness of God, and you seat yourself with them. That means you side with them. You may not feel totally with them in the same level, but if you put yourself with them and seat yourself with them, it's kind of like a person voting. You better know who you vote for. But your association makes your vote. Right? These three steps to a blessed life. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Anybody else has something they want to add to this thought? Right. Number three, real friends strengthen you in God. Okay, Reader. Thank God for friends. Real friends will strengthen you. Real friends will sharpen you. Real friends will shape you. Real friends will help you. Real friends will be there to tell you, hey man, you don't want to do that. And they will tell you the truth about you whenever you don't want to hear it. That's a real friend. Thank God for real friends. Anybody else, something you want to comment on this? I want this lesson tonight to be open where you could say something. Real friends strengthen you in God. Anybody? Real friends strengthen you in God. Say something. This is the deal. Are they constructive or are they destructive to you? A constructive person, sometimes they're there to help you and construct you and help you build your life, to edify your life. Yes, ma'am. So, all right. Anybody else with that thought? Okay, number four. Real friends fear God and obey His word. They have conviction. Psalm 119:63. Okay. Real friends will fear God, obey His word, and have conviction. I can remember. When I was a young man, there was a particular two brothers that lived down the road from us that went to our church. And my older brother was the same age as them. And my brother Roger and Odie would get in all kind of trouble. But Dean would not do it. He would sit there. He refused to participate in their foolishness. And Dean would sit there, and he wasn't going to participate. Now, Roger and Odie and all the other boys, Mike and Mark, they would do all the crazy things. And I'm using a personal illustration just to tell you, but that young man, Dean, refused as a young man, I'm not participating. And when all the boys got in trouble that night, the shame was on them instead of Dean. My mama's telling me no, not to tell. These boys were camping behind the house, and they did something crazy. And I'm gonna keep my lips zipped, Mom. But I just want to tell you, sometimes I thank God for people that have conviction in my life that will be there as a strength to me. Anybody could be a rotten post; you can't lean on them. But I want somebody to lean on in time of need. Number five, true friends agree with scriptural truth. Who's my reader? Okay, let's talk about it. Two walking together, and there's an agreement, there's a bond, a scriptural, a biblical truth in their life. They come together, and they walk with God. There's an agreement. Somebody talk to me about it. Let's have some dialogue about this. The importance of having somebody that is strong, somebody that agrees with the scripture in your life as a friend. Sister Becky. Sometimes you need somebody just to tell you, hey, buddy, you're wrong. A friend. Nobody could. You know, it stings when a friend tells you you're out of order. Mm-hmm. But it helps. It helps you to think. Okay? Number six, God takes notice of the company you keep. Malachi 3:16. God takes note. God sees the company you keep. Let's talk about it. God sees the company you keep. You can't hide that. And so when you're looking for somebody that's going to be real with you, look for consistency. Somebody that knows how to pray. Somebody that, if they're the type of person that is fishy-washy, wishy-washy, and you don't want that. You want somebody that's going to be stronger than you to help you in times where you really need them. And God takes notice of the company you keep. If you keep bad company, guess what? God sees that. Any comment? Man, y'all are quiet. Yes. Okay. Number seven, fellowship with those that believe the doctrine. And I put right here, keep your Pentecost alive. People that have the doctrine, that believe the doctrine, Acts 2:42, reader. Why is doctrine and being fellowship with your friends and your close friends? Why is it so important that doctrine has to be something as a denominator, something that has to be a common thing in their life? Why? Somebody with a fiery relationship with God will help you, not hurt you. When they have a relationship with God, they know how to pray, know how to touch God. They're going to be there. They're going to have some things deep-rooted in the truth. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Sister Becky. Exactly. Do you realize that whenever I was taking biblical theology, pastoral theology in Texas Bible College years ago, one of the things that we were taught, you have people that's always running from something. that don't want to face, don't want to talk about things, are always running from something. There's people that run from one church to the next church to the next church, and it's always everybody else's fault. They're running from, they're fleeing. And people do that with their friends as well. They run from the truth. They run from being truthful. And they always flee, and they got to find something better. And it's not that the people that they were associated with, a lot of times it's just condemnation that they're running from. And they don't want to, what we would say, man up. And that's one of the things years ago, Brother Jerry Enzi taught us. He said, there's people that walk in your church that we want this to be our church. And the first little problem comes along, they're gone because they're running from something. And it's not necessarily from your congregation. It's something in their life that they don't want to face. You see people that circulate from church to church to church. They don't want to put their roots down because they don't want strength. They want somebody to pacify them generally. And it's always another person's problem. Okay? Let's go to number 8. Warning against unequal yokes. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Who's my reader? Okay, go ahead. Very good. Read the next one. Next one. All right. Unequal yokes. Warning against unequal yokes. What does that mean? I need some help tonight. If during the Bible times when they talked about yokes, what is that? Yokes. They're not talking about egg yolk. Right. Normally it's a double yolk, not a double yolk egg, okay? It's talking about where two animals, they would slide these things over their neck to be able to pull a plow or wagon or something like that. And the Bible says very plainly, you don't take a donkey and yoke it with an ox. It would be unequal. Two different natures there. Two different size animals. One beast is very strong-headed, and the other one is very strong beast. I mean, the donkey is very strong-headed, but the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. Let's talk about it. What does that mean? Yeah, let's elaborate like that. Go ahead. Normally, is two things that don't belong together, right? To be unequal. Two things that are imbalanced here. And he says, be not unequally yoked with the unbeliever. Anybody want to elaborate now? There you go. We do not marry people that's not full of the Holy Ghost. Or date people that's not full of the Holy Ghost. Because, exactly. Even though they're a nice person, they're friendly people, they're great people, if they're not walking with God, and you think you could walk with God and win them, you know what I'll tell you? Many times we've seen this, and the principles in the Word of God, it's not just in a pastor saying that. The principle speaks about that. And the consequences of somebody that has that unbeliever in their life that pulls in the opposite direction. And when you are marrying somebody, young lady, you need to find somebody strong for your soul. Young man, you need to find a young lady that's strong for you, that will help you walk with God and be solid in the truth. You know, an unbeliever has not been regenerated. They have not been born again. And let's just say if they're a backslider, if they're not living for God, if they're not fired up, you don't need to be trying to tie up with them. They need to be strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. That's right. Light and darkness do not mix. You think the darkness will never take over the light. But I want to tell you, the light runs out of oil real quick by operating in the darkness. Okay? Anybody else? So, yes. Yes. All right, and that's not just us being petty. It's the Word of God giving us. Either we believe the Word of God or we don't. Right? Okay. And let's go to the next one, number 9. Many are lost because of wrong company. Exodus 23. Very good. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Many are lost because of wrong company. Wrong company could sour your life, mess your life up. Wrong company. We kind of talked about this in just a little bit, but thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You need to be careful. You need to watch who you're following, who's influencing you. The crowd mentality sometimes is a wrong mentality. Sometimes you've got to take your steps for you and instead of trying to please everybody. Anybody else wants to make a comment on this? Any comments? Brother Josh. Hang on, Brother Robbie. Hold your thought. Mm-hmm. There's a young man named Rodney that I knew of that was an alcoholic. He was one that always leaned on the bar, drank at this particular bar. He received the Holy Ghost, was baptized in Jesus' name. And after about a year, he thought, well, I'm going to go win my friends. I'm going to just go have a Dr. Pepper. And he started going there, and they, you know, they're talking rhetoric. You know, at first, he's trying to witness to them, and, you know, and boy, he thought he really did good. Second time he went in, and, you know, it pretty soon he's relaxed and he's talking. Pretty soon they are engaged in worldly conversation. And he kind of, oh, y'all don't need to be talking like that. But he realized he's in their den. And when you go to their den, guess what? A den of vipers has a den of venom. And pretty soon, I mean, he thought he was going to win them. They won him. Brother Robbie, you had a comment a while ago. Right. That's right. I used to tell Katie, Joel, and I tell Isaac. They'll say, but everybody else, well, you're not everybody else. You don't wear everybody else's shoes. Their shoes stink. You're responsible for you. Everybody else, Sister Becky. Yes. Sister C. Okay, our next one is number 10, the snare of compromising for your friends. All right, reader, please. Okay, take heed unto yourself, be not snared by following them. The snare of compromising for your friends. I need somebody to elaborate on that for me today. Make a comment. Exactly. And the same token, there's times that I've had to tell somebody that wanted to get married, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I mean, you got to stand your ground. And if it compromises conviction, compromises principle, compromises the Word of God, I better be strong enough to say no, even though how much I love them. And I want the Lord to be pleased in my life. And so, the snare of compromising for your friends. We got to watch that. Next one, keep your heart under control. Reader. Mm-hmm. Keep your heart under control. If Samson would have done this, Samson would have never lost out. But Samson, his heart was in control. He just had to be stroked by Delilah. He had to go down to their house. Heart under control. Talk about it, somebody. That's it. Anybody else? Control heart. Controlling your heart. Harnessing it. And that word heart in the Greek is carneo, which it means mine as well. and controlling your mind. I mean, the way temptations is, you get a thought. A thought's not a sin. But when you feed a wrong thought, it becomes a sin. Okay? Anybody wants to comment on that? Keeping your heart under control. Okay, what about the appetites of your heart? Appetites. Fleshly appetites. Things that, if you know you have a weakness in a certain thing, if you got a weakness and you know that that's been a weak area for you, a weak spot, don't walk on weak spots. Thin ice will break. I mean, you crawl down on a limb, that limb could only hold you so far. So use discretion and judgment, good judgment. Anybody else? Know your weak area, you know. Okay, our next one is the preserving power of discretion and understanding. Reader. All right, anybody want to elaborate? Discretion, how the power of it and understanding is going to keep you. I need somebody to help me. Elaborate about discretion. What is discretion? Discretion. Go ahead. Uh-huh. It's like today, I'm at Asher's Thanksgiving deal at the cafeteria where he goes to school at, and I get there, and this little boy looks at me and says, "What happened to your hair?" This little child doesn't know. I mean, he has no discretion. But there are people that just don't have discretion. They have no ability to use a little wisdom. And it's, discretion is that proper judgment, you know. And Sister Kristen, discretion or a comment? You learn to harness your tongue, harness your emotions. Man, sometimes you just got to, I've had to do it. I'd zip my lips and go forward. I had to use discretion a while ago talking about my brother and his twin friends and a boy named Odie. And I didn't want to embarrass my mom. If she wasn't here, I would have told you, no, I'm picking. All right, our next one. Evil communication corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Reader. All right, let's talk about it. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Good manners. Good manners is something real proper. But all it takes is evil communications to corrupt something good. It's kind of like battery acid. Battery acid in the container is a very helpful thing. But when it gets out of the container, it could destroy something. And so evil communication corrupts good manners. Anybody wants to give me an example? Evil communication corrupts good manners. Yes. Yeah. evil communication corrupts good manners. Sister Crossway says sometimes communication is not necessarily words. It could be a picture sent. And it could be something that you're doing to not necessarily, even just to mock somebody in an evil manner will corrupt everything. Only thing it takes is your reputation, your testimony. Everything could be destroyed with one little thing. Is years ago, I repeated something I heard all my life to somebody. I just said it, I mean, because I heard it. It's one of those things, little cliches that you say. And I never gave it much thought, but when I said it, it was like those people just like, bleh. And yeah, I didn't realize the nature of what I said till later on. Somebody on the sideline said, "Hey, you realize what you said?" I'm glad that they realized that I was naive. Evil communication. Watch what you say, bro. Exactly. Uh-huh. We need that. We need accountability. Number 14, take an open stand against wrong in front of evildoers. Take an open stand against wrong in front of evildoers. And this is not necessarily going out there with a sign to these abortion right people and all that, getting all upset and throwing a fit. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about people that are doing evil that know better. So Ephesians, the 5th chapter reader, go ahead. Disobedience. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. If you have a friend that you know that's going the wrong direction, they send you a picture on your phone that is not right. Are they talking something not right? And young men could start talking, and pretty soon they're talking about things that are inappropriate without really saying it. And you got a friend, you need to have enough inside of you to say, "Hey man, let's not talk that way." And Brother Craig and I years ago, and Joel, we were eating at a restaurant, and we were hunting out there, and we went to this restaurant, and there was three cowboys and a young lady that came, and they set the table next to us. And these were young men, very strong looking young men, and they were using all kinds of words, and there were little ladies in the room eating with their, and different people eating, and they were using filthy, perverted words, and this girl that was with them just didn't care. I mean, but there was a lot of little ladies in there that would go, and Brother Jerry, he said, "Hey, y'all need to watch your mouth. There's people in this room beside you," and he said, "This is my pastor. We're trying to eat a decent meal. And there's your son. And there's a lot of people in this room." And Sister Rhonda, you know how Brother Jerry is. He told him, he said, "Yeah." He said, "I don't want to hear no more of it." And Brother Jerry sat back down. And the cowboy that was doing all the noise, talking and the filthy word, he looked at him. He said, "You think we could take him?" The little boy said, "You better hush your mouth now." Was on a Bible quiz trip years ago, and it was in Magnolia, and at McDonald's there was a young man that was inappropriate with a woman, and her husband was there, and he and the husband got in a fight, altercation in the parking lot, and the police were called, and it was broke up before the police got there. But the young man that started all this got in line, and he was all mouthing in line in the middle of McDonald's. Here we are with a bunch of Bible quiz kids. And I just walked, "Hey, man, you need to hush your mouth right now." Sister Crosswhite liked to melt it. I said, right now. And I point my finger at him and use authority. And, you know, I didn't know what he's going to do. If he wanted to hit me, whatever. But a little bit he tucked his head. He said, "Sir, I'm sorry." And, hey, sometimes we need to confront evildoers. That needs to, especially if they're your friends or associates. Number 15. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Number 15. Some are destitute of the truth. Destitute of the truth. Withdraw from them. I need a reader. Okay. Somebody help me with this tonight. People that are destitute of truth. Withdraw from them. What does that mean? What does that mean? To withdraw from somebody that's destitute of truth. Anybody wants to elaborate? Give it a shot. Brother Robbie, go ahead. Some people are proud that they're perverted. Some people are proud that they're unholy, ungodly in their mannerism. And this is the deal. If you're proud, you're congealed in it. You're a prisoner to it. And there's some people feel, wow, you're not going to change me. You're not going to change many of them. That's the people that you need to withdraw from. Use common sense. Use wisdom. All right? And I want some things to think about tonight in closing. Vexation. With his evil environment, save Lot. When Lot said, "I'm tired of this. I'm getting out of here because I know it's going to be destroyed." Hatred of idolatry and uncleanness kept David. Next statements. Good friends will keep you from getting in trouble with God. Think about this. Evil friends are only focused on fleshly pleasures. The friends you choose will determine what you will become. Think about this. Have you ever thought about the friendship of Jonathan and David? Jonathan was 17 years older than David. And as long as Jonathan was alive, David never messed up. It was only after Jonathan was dead that David sinned. Good friends won't let you get in trouble with God. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. I thank God for friends that will stick with you. It's man, you're crazy, boy. You need to stop that. I thank God for people that's going to be a good friend to me. And you think about the last page, superficial relationships. This proverb highlights the danger of having many shallow or superficial acquaintances. While these may prove temporary company, they lack depth and reliability. Watch out for superficial people in your life. Next thing, lack of loyalty. When challenges arise, such companions often fail to offer meaningful support or loyalty, potentially leaving a person vulnerable or isolated. You find out your friends real quickly. Friends will stick with you in times of trouble. Friends will stick with you, and foes will not. False sense of security, this proverb, relying on the quantity of relationships rather than their own quality can lead you to disappointment. There's the type of people that want all these friends. But I'd rather have a quality relationship. Not all friends are trustworthy or steadfast. If you know your friend's a thief, if you know your friend's a liar, if they continue talking filth and they're doing things, hey, they're not your friend. True friendships, the scripture begins to contrast the fleeting nature of superficial connections with the steadfastness of a true friend. Such a friend is loyal, supportive, dependable in all circumstances, even surpassing the bond of a brother. Friends stick closer than a brother. Next thing, unconditional love. A true friend does not abandon in time. We just mentioned adversity, but will walk with you through trials, offer comfort, guidance, and strength. So there's some practical applications I put here. Quality over quantity. Be the friend you desire. True friendships require reciprocity. See how you say it? It says crosswise. There you go. Offering the same loyalty, care, and support you wish to receive. Spiritual reflection. Seek Jesus as the ultimate friend. His unwavering presence offers strength in times of loneliness and despair. And the broader message, this proverb encourages discernment in relationships. It emphasizes that real friendships is not about numbers, but about depth, faithfulness, and genuine care. It challenges the readers in the Word of God to evaluate their relationships and strives for that connection that reflects God's loyalty and love. It says crosswise. That's right. Sometimes it's hard to be a good friend, isn't it? Praise God. Are you thankful for somebody in your life? How many's ever had a good friend? A good friend that saved you. You ever had a good friend that saved you? Thank God for good friends that saved me. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Thank God for a good wife that has helped me and saved me. And at times, whenever I was about to fall apart, that she had sense. Thank God for good friends that looked at me in the eyes and said, hey, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. Good friends that could have condemned me and said, man, you're an idiot. But they were there to love me and lovingly support and lovingly correct me. Thank God for a good friend. Stand. Amen. I pray tonight that this session puts something inside of you to get you to realize the importance of a friend. Somebody in your life, the importance and the value of a friend. But I want it to be a value of the greatest friend ever, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you just lift your hands to Him? And I want you to thank Him for being your friend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for really caring about me. Understanding my highs and my lows, oh God, and my seasons. Understanding my personality. Understanding, God, even my mood, God, that sometimes it swings the opposite direction. Thank you for being a friend that cares, God, and a friend that shares. A friend that's blessed and your friends that's been there for me, God. You've never left me nor forsaken me. And I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life. Help me to be a friend. Help me to be strong. And help me to love in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. We want to go to heaven. Yes. And we want to grow to heaven. Yes. God bless you today. Amen.